May the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy and treasure of our heart, the honor and crown of our soul, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, middle, and end of our highest concerns, the center, object, purpose, substance, and essence of all Holy Scripture, be praised and adored by all pious hearts forever. In the name of Jesus. You know, life is like going on a trip. When you sit in the back seat looking out the window on a long stretch of highway, you're taking in all the views, the landscape as the vehicle goes 65, probably faster in Texas. But you know, when you turn your head back, everything passes by. Well, in the new heaven and new earth, the revelation of Jesus Christ tells us about the first heaven and earth passing away, just like the car ride. Because as you pass by the things, the views, they're behind you. That's what the passed away means in the verse, a passing by, a passing over what was there a minute ago. But let's also speak to what the sea being no more means, because our reading stops at verse 7. Verse 7 is a happy verse, but the next one isn't, though, verse 8, because it speaks of what the opposite of conquering, that's the happy part of verse 7, what you get if you conquer. But 8 is the opposite of having that heritage of being God's sons, and that does have to do with the sea, because for the Christian, there is a share of privileges of the only begotten. And that goes all the way back to chapter 3 and verse 21, as far as the conquering goes in the book of Revelation. In conquering, all the waves and tossings have ceased. That's sea tossings in Scripture. And of course, in Revelation, the sea represents chaos. So if the sea is no more, then that means the chaos has finally ended. Well, what chaos, you may ask? Well, the list in that, the not happy verse 8 of the text, starts off speaking of not conquerors, but the cowardly, the faithless and detestable, the immoral, idolaters, and liars. Their fate is not going to be very seafaring. This is why what yearning for New Jerusalem is all about, the removal of the chaos. With chaos, there is disorder and confusion. And the primordial oceans, if you will, which goes back to the beginnings of time, God has prepared for you from the beginning of a new beginning. Well, that may sound contradictory, Pastor, but go back with me to the driving in the car scenario. You left from a beginning point. You began your journey. You've looked out the window and saw the grass and the fields and the planes swoop by. But eventually, the destination slows the vehicle to a stop. You then get out, and at that time, you're at a new beginning. Or think of it like this. Last year, my wife and I went on vacation last summer for a week in San Diego. And that week, for that week, everything was new. Yes, we had the plan. We had to find a hotel, get a rental car to get around and the like. And we visited cool landmarks, places of interest. The zoo was one of them, famous San Diego Zoo. But I'm sure you can relate to this, that for that week, for us, we left the former things behind. We did not even talk about them. We were in a new place, and back home, well, was simply back. Not now, not forward, but just back there. Of course, when the vacation ended, we echoed the proverbial, now it's back to the grind. By the way, that was for our honeymoon, and so it is fitting with the whole prepared as a bride adorned for her husband part of our text. Because what you do after the wedding is what? Go on a honeymoon. So this whole image of the new heaven and the new earth, image of our Lord, our Maker. He's giving us this fifth Sunday of Easter. And the Lord Jesus, the church's groom, too, has a honeymoon in store for us. One where we do not have to come back from, though. And it begins with a shout, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will tabernacle with us." No coincidence, the same John who writes this also said in his gospel, "The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." Can you start to see the flip book? And that technical term for that is a kinetograph. But it's that flip book that is before your eyes that it showed to the children. The gradual changes from one page to the next. The Lord's very own thumb cinema for you. These are that such things that angels have been long looking into. As once again, the action of God of wiping away tears, canceling death and pain happens because the former things have passed away. And then with that, he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Now, those who have attended adult Bible study with me for a lengthy time here know how much I bring this verse up in Scripture. Jesus saying, "I am making all things new." I emphasize the order of the words because they are, "I am making all things new," and not, "I am making all new things." There's a difference. The particulates matter. Making all things new is not the same as making all new things, because one involves still having the things, and the other doesn't. It has nothing, or it is to say it starts from scratch. The literal translation of the verse is Jesus saying, "I am freshly constructing all the things." Jesus, in carpenter fashion, is creator. As he was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. In the beginning was the Word, the Genesis. God spoke things into existence through his Word, through the Son. And so back to John chapter 1 again, he says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Here are things worth writing down, as the Lord commands. "Engraven these things down, write them, form letters out of them, for these words are trustworthy and true." They are faithful because they are words of the faith. And then after that command, he says to John, "It is done." "It is done" is like in the creation account where God said, "Let there be." In the 6 days of creation, "Let there be," and there was. It was done. See, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and last letter of the alphabet that John is writing in. And Christ is the beginning and the end. He is the purpose. He is the creator of new beginnings. These new beginnings, church, flow from his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead is what makes all this true, trustworthy, and faithful, because Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You don't just get to say that just on Easter Sunday. It's still Easter season. Let's try that again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is a mouth-watering proclamation. Out from death into life. Because in death, you are parched. Death makes you thirsty. And see, we practice this every night when we sleep. And then we resurrect in the morning. And I bet one of the first things you do when you get up is get something to drink. Therefore, in like fashion, when we awake to newness of life, we will need to drink something. Something from the spring of life. And oh yeah, it won't cost you anything. Not like the water or the juice that comes from your fridge that you have to pay for. For the Lord says, "Come without payment." You know, in fact, if you come with payment, it's just going to be chaotic. The flip book doesn't work that way. The caterpillar doesn't bring anything he doesn't already have in him when he dangles from the branch. It just starts being buried in a cocoon and then comes out a new creature. But you can see the little guy and the butterfly there. The torso, the main torso, is still there. He didn't disintegrate. Something new comes out of what he is. It is conquering the grave. that is the image of the one who conquers, will receive the inheritance. But if we must conquer, there needs to be something to defeat. What is that? It is the great dragon, the deceiver of the world, we are told here. It is the serpent thrown down out of the garden, whose unrighteous cause was deception at a tree. But now we know that deception has been outdone by a better tree, the tree of the one who was crucified. That's how we conquer. And that's not a guess. It is written as well in Revelation that they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. All this is a time elapsed before you today to take it in the church, because today we have stepped outside of time to peer into the mysteries that this Lamb's blood procures for us. How in it is the making of all things new. God taking what he creates and forming it back to its original design. Just like within a flower. The seed is still there. You know, there are those videos I remember in like seventh grade science class watching, that the seed opening, they give you that time-lapse camera video. The seed opens and sprouts from petals and leaves start forming on it from beginning to new beginning. But another way you can look at it is like this. You know, I have lost count of how many times I have moved. In my adulthood, I've lived in 8 different states, mostly because of being in the military. But aside from the different states, the part I lost count of has been how many residences. Probably about 20, I think, by now. The thing about moving is most of the time a person doesn't just move empty-handed. It involves moving trucks. Why? Because of your household goods. And sure, there are those people who move and they decide to purchase brand new everything in their new dwelling. But for the most part, we take with us what we already have, especially family and personal memorabilia. We outfit our living spaces with furniture, beds, dishes. And it can be a pain packing and loading and unloading that from boxes. We may have to hire movers even to do the heavy lifting. That's a living parable, though, of how the Lord has been moving us from birth towards new heaven and earth, a new residence. And he brings us along every step of the way, all his household goods he brings with us. He brings his household goods here on earth and there in heaven. He doesn't start anew. Why would he? His first creations are heavenly. To completely destroy them would to show that his first design wasn't good enough. And there is a reason why you do not take your earthly goods with you to heaven. Because he has already furnished the mansions. That's why he says no need for you to bring them. I bring the household goods, mine, with me when you move. So he does not start from absolutely nothing. He does not ask you to bring your favorite chair. He has the materials already to make you a new chair, one that you'll like even better. So this is why we pray in the prayer of the baptized, on earth as it is in heaven. It is for things made new. In the wedding at Cana, Jesus turns water into wine, but water still resided in it. The water was still in the wine. Likewise, his words do not fade away into nothing. The same creative word has been creating ever since day 7. Yes, he stopped making trees and bushes, fishes and clouds, but he never stopped creating newness for the ones he gave dominion over creation, you and I. Jesus even reminded us, as this heaven and earth passes by, that his words won't. They stay. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will last forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Peter quotes Isaiah as well when he writes, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." 1 Peter 1:23. See, eventually flowers and even butterflies die. They can be made again, but you have to be born again. And it is his word that accomplishes that. Isaiah again says, "And so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." It is done. Jesus spoke that verb. He spoke it actively. That's why it comes before "I am the beginning and the end." That's why the word order matters. It is done, and I am the beginning and the end. There's no past tense for Jesus. He is a present tense kind of God. Therefore, when Jesus says it is done, he is also saying it is being done. It is done and it is being done all at the same time. It is a constant action. No standstill. Psalm 121 proves to us that he never sleeps nor slumbers. That is why we are the bride being prepared. That is also the very reason why we gather. We gather because we are conquerors, not cowards. And we are the new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem settles on the new earth, settles on all things new, where the chaos has ended, because it will be the dwelling place of God with man. And that and this is where he wants to be. And his dwelling with man is not just in the future either, folks. It is active here today. He is preparing for us where he wants to be. This is where he wants to be. So, his dwelling with man is not just in the future. It, too, is also active. This is where we get these many foretastes of heaven on earth. But without any heavy lifting. No more packing away. We reach the end of the book here for a moment. We get to see how it ends, what it all turns into, what this making all things new really looks like. It is the presence of God now, and it will be the presence of God then without end. When Christ says, "I am the end," he means the end result. The telos means the point of destination. There isn't anything past him. His presence, though, is unending. And in the presence of God, anything is life when he's standing there, when he gives you himself. It all culminates in this. This is how you get life. That even among many changes of this world, as the collect prayer of the day spoke, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Hearts fixed on the end from the beginning. That you may behold him making all things new, that you may behold the book of life, the picture of Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory in him making all things new, Christ in you, in the name of Jesus. Amen.